This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And away we go into the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., the 49er fan himself, Matt Scraby over there. On Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan. You can watch the program.
Also, hit the like button on the YouTube
page. You please do that while you're there, right? Mm-hmm. Does it take any extra effort?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so hit the like thing. That'll Scraby earns bonus points.
I earn half a cent every time that you...
every time. Well, then hit it over and over and over again.
Let's see, we have 12 likes. I've made...
6 cents.
Yes, there we go. Thank you.
The Philadelphia Phillies are so good, Scraby, that they are now in the business of just going ahead and releasing three-time All-Stars. 35-year-old Whit Merrifield been sent packing.
Oh, no.
By the Phillies.
Even after his interaction with the fan yesterday?
That's right. That was that a big five?
Yes.
Item?
Yeah, the fan called him out, and then he wrote back, and then they had this back and forth, and now he's released?
The fan said, you're so bad that your own family's probably not buying your jersey right now.
That's true.
And Whit Merrifield wrote back and said, well, they do buy the three All-Star jerseys I own.
He also said, yes, they've also want to change their last name.
Well, he can take those three All-Star jerseys with him now because he's not anywhere.
That's brutal.
Merrifield hit 199 in 53 games for the Phillies. They've called up a minor leaguer, Weston Wilson from AAA Lehigh Valley to take his place. But I'll be honest, this is where I'm bad and like I don't have a clue. Because a year ago at this time, Whit Merrifield was a name that I know popped up around these parts.
Yeah.
And he ended up going, if I'm not mistaken, from Kansas City to Toronto.
Yes.
Or was that a year? It was either last year or the year before. But I remember I liked him. I was like, oh, let's get this guy. And, you know, because he was really good with Kansas City, I thought.
Yeah.
Three-time All-Star. I'm like, let's get this guy. Well, the Phillies obviously thought the same thing at the beginning of this season because they signed him to a $7 million deal. You know?
Yeah, he was an All-Star last year with the Blue Jays.
Right. So he's an All-Star last year. He gets $7 million this year. And now the Phillies have to just give him $3 million.
Yeah.
To go away.
I mean, he is hitting 199.
I know, but if you got rid, I'll be honest with you, if you got rid of every major leaguer right now hitting below 200, you get rid of a lot of guys.
That's true.
A lot of people are hitting below 200 these days.
But the Phillies don't have that problem, really.
No, not a lot of Phillies are hitting below 200. But anyway, I just think it's interesting. Whit Merrifield, unless he just completely forgot how to play here in the last 6 months, I just think he'd be a guy that I would want. But I guess he's that bad now.
I don't know that he's that bad, but it's worth taking a look.
He's been released, so off he goes. All right.
Off he goes. Off with his head.
Off with his head. Sorry about that, Whit. All right, we got a couple of lines open, actually. If you want to play Chris versus the Fan, some trivia, 833-288-0973. We don't often have lines open for this trivia game. One that if you win, you'll be qualified for a trip to the Rio Las Vegas. It includes a two-night stay, dinner for two. You guys wonder about dinner for two.
Why?
Because dinner for two for the couple down the street is different than dinner for two if, say, you and I are the two.
What?
We would get a whole lot more food, is what I'm saying. Is there a cap on dinner for two, or can the two people just go hungry heifer on the place?
Hungry heifer.
Yeah.
I think that dinner for two includes possibly a special menu.
I don't know.
All right.
I've never won these prizes, hungry. So I don't know.
Hungry heifer.
You also get a day bed at the pool, the Rio pool. So it's all yours. And the Las Vegas Rio Hotel is all yours as well. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, brand new food hall. All ready for you now and your next Vegas escape. Beyond the expected, beyond the strip, beyond your wildest dreams, it's the Rio Las Vegas, the Rhythm of Vegas. Book now at riolasvegas.com. Let's play Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris already explained what the qualification is today, but the rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question, and you'll get that question for free today. All right, Chris was just rolling through it yesterday, just... stiff-arming contestants left and right.
I got beat, eventually.
In the tiebreaker.
Oh.
Let's start with... let's go with Mike today. Let's start with Mike. Hello, Mike. Are you there?
Howdy-do.
Howdy-do. Are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. What color are the stadium seats at Petco Park? Sorry, say it one more time.
Blue.
Blue is right. Navy blue, but blue is right.
The
Chris had this look in his eye like...
I really didn't know for sure. Blue is a good guess because that's what they were wearing when Petco Park was built.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
And they... It would be a little expensive, I think, to replace every
seat. It's pretty funny, though, that like I couldn't think of it offhand. I've only stared at that, you know, those seats 8,000 times without knowing what color they are.
All right, Mike, you're on to question number two. Who is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. That's going to be a tough one. I'll just play it safe and say Cito Gaston.
It's going with Cito Gaston.
Who the heck?
Well, Cito was the manager of the 92-93 Blue Jays.
Okay, well, that makes sense. At least you gave me a Blue Jays answer, but that is incorrect.
The Joe Carter home run.
Oh, yeah.
Cito Gaston was the guy there.
Okay.
I'm not so sure that Cito Gaston didn't even spend a little time as a Padre way back when, outfielder.
All right, well, do you have an answer to this question?
I'm delaying while I try
well,
to
I'm going to have to buzz you, sir.
Oh, stop it. John Schneider?
I'm delaying.
Sorry
about that, Mike.
Yeah, Cito Gaston played for the Padres 69. He was an all-star for the Padres in 1970.
Good memory there.
Well, I didn't remember that. I had to look it up. But he had 29 homers for the Padres in 1970.
29 is a lot of homers.
Especially if you go back to San Diego / Qualcomm Stadium before they put the inside fence in. You had to hit it over that huge, tall 15-foot fence.
Oh, wow.
To homer in those days.
Wow.
Cito Gaston, good slugger.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant.
Well, you were like, you know, incredulous, like, Cito Gaston, who the hell was that?
I know, that was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi,
pretty
Jason.
Good. Are you ready?
Yep. Okay, real quick, I just want to say what's up real quick to Chris, because we share a birthday, so happy birthday to you.
Oh, very good. June 22nd.
Yeah, we'll never forget your birthday now because Chris beats me over the head with his every other day.
Just stop it. We also share with Meryl Streep and Clyde Drexler.
Wow,
there's not a lot of us out there.
Yeah. There's Jason, Chris, Clyde the Glide, and Meryl Streep.
There we go. That's a Mount Rushmore right there.
All right, here we go, Jason. Question number one. The best pitcher of all time, Paul Skeens, pitched for what college?
The best pitcher of all time.
LSU.
LSU is correct.
I was trying to think way back when, you know, to when he was in college, since he's the best pitcher now of all time.
Well, haven't you seen the headlines?
I know you. I know you're just.
I'm not mad at the guy.
Yes, you hate him.
All right, here we go.
You don't like his girlfriend either, by the way. I'm just passing that info along to people.
I didn't say anything about that. We'll talk about that later if you want to, but I didn't say I hated her. Which National League Central player has struck out the most in baseball so far this season?
National League Central.
Need an answer.
Gotta get an answer.
Taylor Cruz.
Nailed it!
I believe that you weren't cheating either. I believe that. Wow, that was pretty darn good. Yes.
He nailed it. Ellie De La Cruz is the leader in whiffs.
He struck out like 126 times so
far
this season.
Very good.
All right,
I don't think I would have got that.
Question. Really?
I might have thought of him, but I hadn't thought of him yet.
All right. Here we go, Jason. Oh, and the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals have been good, so.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. Question number three. What was the first American city to host a Summer Olympics?
Summer Olympics.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Now, Chris, you attended these Olympics.
The first ones?
Yes.
Well, it's funny that he just was trying to predict a strikeout guy from the Cardinals, because I'm pretty sure the answer to this is St. Louis.
Wow.
How do you 1904.
Know that? How do you even know the
I don't
year?
Know.
Sorry,
I don't
Jason.
Know.
Thanks for playing.
One of those things that sticks in my head. Sorry, Jason, but thanks for sharing our birthday. We'll definitely celebrate again next time around.
All right, let's see who's next longest holding on the list. It would be Ryan in Chula Vista. Ryan, hello.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Not
me and my mom.
Sorry?
Me and my mom are going to play.
Oh, awesome.
Right,
what's your mom's
good.
Name?
What's your mom's name?
Julissa.
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 All right.
Good.
We got Ryan and Julissa. Here we go.
Let's go.
Question number one. Who is the oldest player on the Padres right now?
Xander Bogart.
Xander Bogarts.
That's a buzz.
Stay there, Ryan.
That's a good question. The oldest Padre.
I couldn't even begin to guess. I had to look it up.
Man. David Peralta?
Wow.
He just popped into my head because he was on the show today.
Sorry about that, Ryan.
Sorry,
and
Ryan and Elisa. I got lucky there.
Wait, I'm looking at... Wait. Hold on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You're reneging on that now?
Is Yu Darvish not currently on the 40-man roster?
That's a good question. He might be older than Peralta.
Because he's not on my list of 2024.
Yeah, he's not
Padres.
Active right now. He's on the some-odd crazy list.
He's on the NFI, not the NFI, the restricted list.
You know, you could give Ryan and Elisa another chance at a number one. Because I think that was kind of a, fugazi question.
Ooh. I'll just say Yu Darvish counts.
No, I think he just, you know, he's got
to get one. I just don't want to waste my questions.
Oh, you're wasted that one.
Yeah.
Let's go with number one. Ryan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, good. You're still alive. Here we go. Question number one again.
Oh, I told you I didn't want to waste my questions.
Just waste
okay.
one.
Where did David Peralta work before he was a major leaguer?
Oh, well, if you heard the interview, this is an easy one.
The big old McDonald's.
There
McDonald's
you go. I like
correct.
It, Ryan. You were listening. You're paying attention. Very
See,
good.
As soon as I saw Yu Darvish on the chat, I was like, you know what? Yu Darvish, I think, might be closing in on 40, but I looked at the 40-man roster. I do not see his
right,
name
he's
there.
Not on there because he's on that list.
Okay.
Some sort of restricted list.
All right, Ryan, you were still alive.
But I'll tell you one thing. I will say this about our chat. They don't miss anything.
No, they do.
Right? If you make the most simple mistake, somebody's going to be on you.
Which
usually it's me, but sometimes it's not.
You know, I do appreciate it, but at the same time, it drives me insane. But but that just means I care about you if you drive me insane.
Darvish is 37, Peralta 36.
All right. Well, that okay.
All right, Ryan, move on.
Here we go. Question two. Question
Annie
two.
Lisa.
Yes. I'm going to give you players' names. You're going to tell me what team they played for together. Jerks and Profar, Chris Bassett, Matt Olson.
The Rockies.
Rockies.
Sorry about that.
I think I know this one, too. Watch the A's. Sorry. I feel bad because I like Ryan and Ulisa, and I didn't even get to know Ulisa.
Oh, by the way, when you said the chat gets on us, Adam Paul, I'm just going to name him, is one of those guys or people mm-hmm. who gets on us. And he said, we hold you to high standards because you should know things.
Yeah, he's right.
But jeez.
Here's the thing. He's right, but I just don't go into this, you know, pretending to know everything. I know people think that maybe because I do Chris versus the Fans and this, but I don't mind that I don't know everything. That means there's still stuff to know.
I definitely don't know everything.
Yeah. So we don't, but it's a good point, Adam Paul, but you know, we don't claim perfection. So it's good that we have you guys checking up on us.
All right. Let's go to the next.
And sometimes we do just make a mistake. Like, you know, you do research for something and you look something up and there's another angle that you didn't check.
And also, if we're going to talk about this, the sports radio show has changed. There's something called the internet. And if people are curious about something, they can go look it up.
And they do.
Yeah. And they do. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to our next contestant, Ollie. Hello, Ollie. Oh, you got to turn down that radio.
Turn down your radio, Ollie. Then you're all set to go.
All right. Here we go. Question number one. I don't have a question number one.
Really?
Who did the Dodgers just get swept by? What team?
The Dodgers just got swept by the Phillies.
The Phillies is correct.
We enjoy
it. They're losing right now to the Tigers. 3-0.
Uh-oh.
All right. Here we go. Question number two.
It's Dodgers boo-hoo. Right now.
Woo-hoo.
Dodgers.
We know Bronny James was picked in the second round of the NBA draft, but what pick overall was he?
Let's say 57.
Oh, apparently Chris knows this. Sorry about that, Ollie.
Sorry, Ollie. I don't drive 55.
Oh, my God.
Okay. They made such a big deal out of it. It was like burned into my conscience.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Ollie. We're going tiebreaker.
I say today's tiebreaker guy is Byron Buxton.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. He just popped into my head. He's Byron right here Buxton. On the lineup list. I'm waiting for a Padre lineup still.
Yeah, we still not gotten.
No. Not official yet.
All right. Byron Buxton. Go into his career stats right this moment.
All right.
And then we'll get someone on the phone. Chris, you usually choose who goes.
Oh, yes, because this is kind of a 50-50 thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going with line three.
Three, which is Robin. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Hey, Robin.
Hello. Is your name Robin?
I'm Robin.
Okay, perfect.
I don't want to give too much.
You got to save that.
Yeah, save that for the next time because this is a tiebreaker. So you still have your first-time player handy for next time. But when I saw the name pop up here, I thought it was the old Ram quarterback, Roman Gabriel.
No.
But it's not. It's Robin.
It's not.
Anyway, that's
all right,
just,
Robin.
That's
I'm
just
gonna,
me being me, yes. Robin, on a Friday. So.
You save that first-time player.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Chris a question. He's going to have... You're going to guess whether or not the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris said.
Got that. Uh-huh.
Finally. Right, he knows. You finally said it right.
All right, Chris. How many... Let's see. How many RBIs does he have in his career?
Byron Buxton. How many years? Seven?
Buxton. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
10 years?
2015 was his first year.
He just started.
He's been hurt a lot.
Yeah, I know. So that's why it's hard to answer this question.
You did give a really tricky guy.
You did. I'm going to say because of his injuries, only about 45 RBIs per year. So 444.
444. Robin, is the actual answer higher or lower?
400 for 10 years.
444. He's going over.
Sorry
really?
About that. Yeah.
He's not over 444.
No, he's been hurt so much as 335.
Man,
for his
he averages
career.
33 RBIs a year. And they talked about this guy as like a Hall of Famer.
Well, the most Please. RBIs he's ever had in a season, he's done 51 twice.
Man, Byron Buxton, overrated.
He hasn't played more than 80, or he played 92 games in 2022. And that's the second most of his career.
I overrated.
All right, roll the die.
I love this die. Alex, Cardiff.
Alex, let's go, Alex. Are you ready?
Hello. I'm ready.
All right, Chris, how many stolen bases does he have in his career?
444. No. 10 years, he's got to have at least five. He doesn't play.
I know, you gave it the trickiest guy of all.
88.
88 RBIs, or stolen bases. Alex, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher.
You're going to go higher. You would be correct.
All right.
Nice job. Dang. I'm trying to get the applause. There it is.
Very good, Alex.
Hang on, Alex. I'll get you in the break. The actual answer was, you were really close, Chris, 91 RBIs. So you said 88.
91 steals.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you said RBI.
I keep saying RBIs. You mean steals. Yes.
It's all right. All right, we've got to take a break. We're a little past that. Stick around. Big Five is coming up. Tony will rejoin us for that segment.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the time.
Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
428? Man.
We cannot do this
whoever
anymore.
The producer of the show is does not run a very tight show.
Whoever the host of the show is does not run a tight show. I think it's both of our faults.
Jaden Ledee made his debut for the Minnesota Timberwolves today.
How do you do?
In the Las Vegas Summer League. Jaden went 0 for 2, did not score in 13 minutes off the bench, but according to Mark Ziegler, the Timberwolves were plus 18 when he was on the floor.
That's a good number.
So very good. Look, I think Jaden Ledee is going to be a positive player for, if it's not the Timberwolves, somebody, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
In Major League NBA action.
I'm with you on that.
As it were. Somebody else brought up an interesting point. I just read Andy Roddick. Remember the former tennis player married to Brooklyn Decker?
I saw them together at the Super Bowl Radio Row in Houston one year.
All right. He brought this up, and it's a pretty good point. I think you'll like it. Novak Djokovic, who's playing in the Wimbledon final tomorrow, had knee surgery like 3.5 weeks ago.
Really? What kind of knee
Remember
surgery?
Remember he had to get out of the French Open because it's so bad? And
kind of, yeah.
He underwent a surgery on that. He's back, and now he's in the Wimbledon final. Note to Tyler Glasnow and your sore back. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying tennis players are tough in general. I don't know, but this Djokovic is a superhuman, you know, tremendous athlete. A lot of people don't like him. Fair enough. But that's a pretty impressive. Now, all knee surgeries are not created alike. I get that.
No.
But nonetheless, to come from 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks and back into the Wimbledon finals, pretty good.
That is really good.
When you consider, right, guys go on the injured list and they're not heard from again for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And we don't even know what's the matter with them.
I guess in tennis, too, you're only letting down yourself if you don't play.
Well, you don't make money if
and
you're
you don't make
not
money,
playing,
yeah.
Right.
And
there's
baseball,
a little more
you
motivation.
Definitely make money.
There's motivation, but for somebody like Djokovic, he's certainly already made his money.
He's good.
So, all right, just thought I'd point that out. We had a moment to do so. Big Five is coming up. Still ahead, if you missed our interview with David Peralta, the second oldest guy in the Padres, as we've come to find out, it was really fun. And you'll get a chance to hear it in the 5 o'clock hour. But the Big Five is next. All right, welcome back to winning, Chris. 30 teams in Major League Baseball. 29 of them have turned in their lineups for tonight's ball games. Padres, the lone holdout. Man. Although manager Mike Shildt did say earlier that Xander Bogaerts will be back in the lineup tonight at second base.
Yes.
Still awaiting the full lineup for Matt Waldron, to support Matt Waldron in his attempt to beat Spencer Schellenbach and the Atlanta Braves. Game one of a two-game series. Padres, right now, coming into today, actually percentage point behind the Mets.
Yes, I did.
We don't have the final playoff spot right now. The Mets do.
And they're getting lots of attention right now.
The Metropolitans.
Yes.
All right, let's check traffic and then get to...
Traffic will be after the Big Five, I'm sorry.
Well, so it will be.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, guys, I cannot believe it, but we are in the final series before the All-Star break. It seems like time flies when baseball season comes around, and we have seen a lot of great stuff from the Padres in the first half. We've seen a lot of suspect stuff from the Padres in the first half, but...
Number five.
Now that we are here, we all are in agreement that Jurickson Profar is the MVP of the first half, right, guys? Padres MVP?
Yeah. Good enough.
Put on your prediction hat, Chris. I know how much you love this. Who, not named Manny Machado and Jurickson Profar, will have the biggest second half?
Xander Bogaerts.
Good answer. Good answer.
Well, I mean, there's, first of all, he's good enough to do it. Second of all, last year, his second half was really, really good when it seemed like nobody out there was paying any more attention and it had already considered his season a failure. You know, Xander Bogaerts just kept putting up numbers the last couple of months of that season. So, and I think that he wants to make up for time lost. And I think he's the most capable. And I think, with the race, I think Xander Bogaerts, has always proven he's a big-time player. So I'm hoping we'll see it here in San Diego. All for him.
The question is, who do we want to see in the second half do this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. No, what would you ask Chris? What did you ask?
I said who, not named Manny Machado and Jurickson Profar, will have the biggest second half. So basically I'm asking you to put on your prediction hat.
I like Chris's pick. Let's go with Xander.
That is a good one, Chris. I didn't even think about him.
Had some time off. I think he finished the second half as well as anybody last year. I like Xander. I think if you add Xander to the mix and he's having that kind of second half, his offense could be really good.
It can be. All right.
Not only that,
I
just
extremely awkward. I'm sorry.
No, not only that was Xander Bogaerts. It would just keep everybody off of our back on this radio show.
Why?
Because every time he grounds out to shortstop, people call us and tell us that it was a big waste of money
or trade him.
As if Tony and I opened our pocketbooks.
All right. The MLB draft starts on Sunday, and I've been actually reading a lot about everything that's going on, but I don't really get one thing about the whole process. There are two players who experts think could go number one. Georgia's Charlie Condon and Oregon State's Travis Bezanna, who, by the way, has a great nickname, the Basmanian Devil, which is a good one.
That's great.
But what I...
that's great.
But what I don't get is this. What? What, Chris?
I'm just happy anybody has a nickname in this day and age. So that was just all I was going to say.
But what I don't get is this. Writers are saying that Charlie Condon is the best player in the draft and easily could be selected number one. However, those same experts are picking the Basmanian Devil to go number one. So, Tony, can you make it make sense?
And this is in baseball?
Yeah.
Dang, I don't know none of these dudes. Can I make it make sense in terms of what?
Why would the best overall player in the draft go second to a guy
who has a better nickname?
Sure. Sure. He has got a
better name. Is that really the question you're asking?
No, it's not about the nickname. Okay. It's about this. Why, like in football, you take the best overall player on the board.
Not always. Not always. They did a piece last week on NFL Network about the greatest offensive lineman in the history of football and the greatest prospect in the history of football. His name was Tony Mandarich. And he was an offensive lineman for Michigan State, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was going to road grade the entire NFL.
That was the Jets, right?
No, what happened was the Cowboys had the number one pick that year, and they chose a guy who didn't even make all-conference at quarterback in the Pac-10 or 12 at the time. The guy the Cowboys chose was a guy named Troy Aikman. Mandarich went to the Green Bay Packers and was a complete disaster.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically steroid used himself out of the league.
What does this have anything to do with the question?
Because your question is, why don't they always just take the best guy? And I'm telling you that they don't always take the best guy. Mandarich was the best guy that year, but Jimmy Johnson was smart enough to...
I guess in football, it's way different because if you need a quarterback, you take a quarterback.
Okay,
but in baseball, it seems like you should just take the best prospect out there instead of not taking him first overall.
Well,
I mean, but that's all. That's up to the opinions, right? I mean,
that is true.
It's the eye of the beholder. Whoever has the first pick may view one better than the other. They're both college guys, so this draft is littered with a bunch of college guys. Yeah, in baseball, I would agree with you, Scraby. It usually should be best talent. I mean, because it's not as though you draft them and then they help your team right now. You know what I'm saying? Usually, for the most part, except with the very few exceptions, you got to go through the minors. So by the time 3 years rolls around, your needs may be different. Or 4 years roll around, your needs may be different. So, I would assume the reason why the consensus or they're not taking the consensus number one is because they feel like the other guy's better.
I have a question about the baseball draft, Tony, that maybe you can touch on a little bit. And I don't think it has anything either to do with either of these two players. I think it has to do with every single player coming out of college. Everyone.
Okay.
College baseball players all use aluminum bats. How do major league teams know which guys are going to be able to translate and hit with a wood bat as well as they rake with an aluminum bat in college?
Fantastic question.
I think because now, I mean, most of them go play summer ball. They're all wood bat leagues.
They okay.
All
get the so there are leagues that they can demonstrate their ability to hit with a wood bat now.
For sure. But I think there's just a way that, especially when you're watching the collegiate games, there's just a way that the swing gets through the zone that you know works for wood that you know immediately it stands out won't work with a wood bat in their hand.
Just out of curiosity, how long did it take you to get comfortable with a wood bat? And was there any transition?
I didn't have any transition because I was always, I grew up swinging.
True. A wood bat. Your dad probably told you, yeah. Well, okay.
That's very interesting. But
it's just something I was thinking about as I was watching the College World Series, and these guys, I mean, there's guys setting records with, you know, 50 home runs this year in college baseball, and you know, guys hitting 600, and I'm just thinking, can they all, you know, hit that well at the next level? Of course not, but how do they know which ones will? It's weird.
I don't know, but the Basmanian Devil I'm a fan of now.
That's your guy.
Number three.
Exactly 6 months to the... That's all it takes is a good nickname. Exactly 6 months to the day after leaving the Patriots, Bill Belichick has landed a new job. The six-time Super Bowl winning head coach will join inside the NFL for the upcoming season, and he's going to sit alongside former Pro Bowl safety Ryan Clark, former Pro Bowl wide receiver Chad Johnson, and former defensive end Chris Long, who won one of his two Super Bowls while playing with Belichick in New England. Inside the NFL, did you guys know what was on the CW network?
Nope.
Yeah, it's going on its second season on the CW network.
I'm glad you told me.
I'm letting you know that to ask this question. Will you watch to see what Bill Belichick brings to the table?
I don't think I have to anymore. I think in the day and age of social media, if Bill Belichick says anything interesting, somebody will post it.
That's a good point.
And I'll get to watch that. And I won't have to put up with the rest of the ragtag show that that probably is. Bill Belichick.
Ragtag?
Well, I don't know. Ryan Clark is a click beast, and I don't know what Chad Ochocinco's last
name
really
is
these days.
It's back to Johnson.
But, you know, Belichick, for all of his, you know, brilliance and knowledge of the game of professional football, he is not a guy that I'm going to run towards to sit and listen talk for, a you know, 45 minutes.
See, I've heard he's amazing talking.
To me, well, I've seen him interviewed before, and I maybe he just doesn't translate, but he looks rather boring to me. So,
Tony, are you going to watch to see what he brings to the table?
I mean, I don't generally watch that show because I didn't know it was on the CW. So
no one did, Tony. No one did.
I think Bill Belichick, outside of being a coach, is actually interesting. He's not interesting when he's on the mic as a head coach, and he clearly doesn't want to reveal anything.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's
true. I think he's excellent once he gets outside of that realm. Every time I've heard him speak since, he's been funny, whether we were talking about roast or he just provides a bunch of insight. Even in the 30 for 30 they did with him and, was it Bill Parcells?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, the two Bills?
He was good in that. And so, yeah, I won't go looking for inside the NFL, but as Chris said, the clips get taken, and I certainly will watch to see what he has to say.
I would say this. If I had to watch the show, I would watch it probably to hear what he says over any of the other guys you named.
I mean, he is the most decorated guy in that room. So
The only one that doesn't bring anything, I think, is Chad. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Ryan Clark is good.
I agree that Ryan Clark does good stuff, but he does like the clicks. I will say. Agree to disagree. So, with that awkward transition, two awkward transitions for the Big Five today, everybody. The Chargers have these schedule release videos that a lot of people think are pretty funny, and some of it is pretty funny. They take shots at players and other teams, but one of those players was not happy about the Chargers' social media team, equating him to garbage. Here is Davante Adams of the Raiders on Up and Adams talking about it.
It was a little trend a little bit ago where, you know, it's few of the social media pages were posting some funny stuff of, you know, when the schedule was releasing. So they posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. So I thought about responding on social media to it and, you know, being funny there, but I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot.
Yeah, you
like
play
10 catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. And then the next time, that same year, it was like 177 yards and, you know, two touchdowns, I think it was that game. So I just wanted to kind of remind them what they pertains to playing against me. And hopefully the people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault, they didn't have anything to do with the post, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth.
I love it. Tony, can a team's social media post cause problems for the actual players on the field?
In a football game, yes. Football, basketball, certainly. A lot more control, especially when you're dealing with a dude like this. This is not like your run-of-the-mill wide receiver. This is Davante Adams, who, as he said, has been terrorizing the Chargers. So if I'm one of them cornerbacks, I'm immediately walking up to the social media group and telling them they need to chill out.
Yeah.
You're trying to have me roasted on national TV. Yeah, no, that's, I think, you know, that's the thing. You know, almost all of the social media content is managed by people who didn't play sports. And so when that is the case, you run the risk of popping off and putting somebody in position where they could be the one that has to deal with the repercussions. And I imagine that doesn't go well. So, you know, you only see a few of the social medias like this. Everybody else seems to understand, like, it's not the best idea to piss off somebody like Davante Adams,
who's already been great against you to begin with.
Right.
And it wasn't that they posted him as a garbage can. They posted a Pop-Tart flavor, and the Pop-Tart flavor was garbage. So that's what he was talking about. Chris,
Well, it doesn't always have to be social media that people post that can upset athletes either.
Oh, no, I forgot.
And I'm not going to go there. But there was something up on the scoreboard at Petco Park last year that I don't think was right. And I think I think the Padres paid a little price for that, and I don't think that any of the players certainly had anything to do with it. So what Tony's saying is accurate. But on this one, I agree with Tony 100%. The only thing I'm thinking of is maybe the Chargers were trying to remind Davante Adams that he has just done nothing but trash them over time.
Oh, okay. That's a good look.
Maybe they were actually giving him a compliment.
Don't give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not, but I'm trying to get them out of this mess that they've created for themselves.
All right. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Number one. An American Airlines flight was forced to make an emergency landing after an unruly passenger exposed himself and urinated on the plane's aisle, everybody. Neil McCarthy, 25, of Oregon, was arrested and charged with indecent exposure in relation to the incident aboard American Eagle Flight 3921, which was flying from Chicago to Manchester, New Hampshire, but was forced to divert to Buffalo, New York. Because of this incident, McCarthy was charged under Title 49, United States Code Section 46506. He faces a maximum penalty of 6 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. Now, Braden did some more research on this. The reason he decided to urinate in the aisles, because they told him he had to wait until the seatbelt sign was off for him to go to the bathroom, so he decided to stand up and do that anyway. Yes.
Do we know what McCarthy is this?
David McCarthy. Or Neil, I'm sorry. Neil McCarthy.
Do we know this Neil McCarthy?
No. We don't know this.
This is just a random person.
Yeah. Actually, you know who sent this to us this morning? Adam Klug sent us in the producer chat.
I'm so glad that I'm not on a flight like this sometimes. Like, are you serious? He just got up in the aisle?
There actually is like video of this. The news article that I saw has like a picture of this happening. It's wild. So Chris, does the punishment fit the crime?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Here's my reason why the punishment, because I mean, I'd go the full 6 months and I'd go the full $5,000. Are you saying that the punishment's too much for the crime?
No. You cannot just urinate on a plane because you want to.
Right. And I'll be honest with you. I have been close.
Wait, what?
Not to actually doing that, but in a desperate situation where I had to go so bad and they were in the landing process and then the plane had to circle the landing runway four or five times because there was traffic below.
Sir, why didn't you go to the bathroom in preparation for landing?
Because I thought I could make it through landing, and then the landing lasted a long, long time.
All right.
And then once you land, people clog their way into the aisle, so you can't get your way back to the anyway.
Okay.
All right, so that's stupid to say, but I just said it anyway. But no, here's my reasoning why this guy, they get to throw away the key on this guy.
Throw away the key?
Throw away the key is because, A, this is absurd and ridiculous in its first place. But secondly, he inconvenienced a plane full
of
people.
Yeah, that's another level
of disrespect.
Had
to get to Manchester, New Hampshire, wherever they were going. And, he forces it to be diverted to Buffalo. That throws everybody's life off. I'm tired of people your own stupidity and arrogance selfishness affecting that many people. So I would double the sentence if he came into my courtroom.
Tony, does the punishment fit the crime?
What was the sentence?
6 months in prison, $5,000 fine maximum.
As the great Kendrick Lamar recently said, never let a man you know what on your leg, son. Either you die right there or pop that man in the head, son. I don't think
those are song lyrics.
Yes. I can imagine it.
All right.
I like Tony saying it better though.
Yeah. No. There's no way. Double the sentence.
I agree with that.
I'm just telling you. Even a splash caught me.
Even just the exposing yourself part off the top is enough to.
I'm
walking around in the locker room for a long time. That part doesn't bother me as much until the speck of pee hits my arm or leg or ankle. It's over.
As Tony would say,
walk over that spot on the way out. That's a good point.
Oh,
Chris.
My God.
That's a good point. All right. Well,
nice visual to end the Big Five today.
For the week.
Yeah,
that was the last topic of the week, everybody.
All right.
All right. On the other side, we're going to get you set for the final series before the All-Star break. All of that is next. Plus, David Peralta on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, guys, I cannot believe it, but we are in the final series before the All-Star break. It seems like time flies when baseball season comes around, and we have seen a lot of great stuff from the Padres in the first half. We've seen a lot of suspect stuff from the Padres in the first half, but...
Number five.
Now that we are here, we all are in agreement that Jurickson Profar is the MVP of the first half, right, guys? Padres MVP?
Yeah. Good enough.
Put on your prediction hat, Chris. I know how much you love this. Who, not named Manny Machado and Jurickson Profar, will have the biggest second half?
Xander Bogaerts.
Good answer. Good answer.
Well, I mean, there's, first of all, he's good enough to do it. Second of all, last year, his second half was really, really good when it seemed like nobody out there was paying any more attention and it had already considered his season a failure. You know, Xander Bogaerts just kept putting up numbers the last couple of months of that season. So, and I think that he wants to make up for time lost. And I think he's the most capable. And I think, with the race, I think Xander Bogaerts, has always proven he's a big-time player. So I'm hoping we'll see it here in San Diego. All in for him.
So the question is, who do we want to see in the second half do this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. No, what would you ask Chris? What did you ask?
I said who, not named Manny Machado and Jurickson Profar, will have the biggest second half. So basically I'm asking you to put on your prediction hat.
I like Chris's pick. Let's go with Xander.
That is a good one, Chris. I didn't even think about him.
Had some time off. I think he finished the second half as well as anybody last year. I like Xander. I think, plus, if you add Xander to the mix and he's having that kind of second half, his offense could be really good.
It can be. All right.
Not only that,
I
just
would... extremely awkward. I'm sorry.
No, not only that was Xander Bogaerts, it would just keep everybody off of our back on this radio show.
Why?
Because every time he grounds out to shortstop, people call us and tell us that it was a big waste of money.
Or trade him.
As if Tony and I opened our pocketbooks.
All right. The MLB draft starts on Sunday, and I've been actually reading a lot about everything that's going on, but I don't really get one thing about the whole process. There are two players who experts think could go number one. Georgia's Charlie Condon and Oregon State's Travis Bazana, who, by the way, has a great nickname, the Basmanian Devil, which is a good one.
That's great.
But what I...
That's great.
But what I don't get is this. What, Chris?
I'm just happy anybody has a nickname in this day and age. So that was just all I was going to say.
But what I don't get is this. Writers are saying that Charlie Condon is the best player in the draft and easily could be selected number one. However, those same experts are picking the Basmanian Devil to go number one. So, Tony, can you make it make sense?
And this is in baseball?
Yeah.
Dang, I don't know none of these dudes. Can I make it make sense in terms of what?
Why would the best overall player in the draft go second to a guy
who has a better nickname?
Sure. He has got a better nickname.
Is that really the question you're asking?
What's the question?
It's not about the nickname. Okay. It's about this. Why, like in football, you take the best overall player on the board.
Not always. Not always. They did a piece last week on NFL Network about the greatest offensive lineman in the history of football and the greatest prospect in the history of football. His name was Tony Mandarich, and he was an offensive lineman for Michigan State, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was going to road grade the entire NFL.
That was the Jets, right?
No, what happened was the Cowboys had the number one pick that year, and they chose a guy who didn't even make all-conference at quarterback in the Pac-10 or 12 at the time. The guy the Cowboys chose was a guy named Troy Aikman. Mandarich went to the Green Bay Packers and was a complete disaster.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically steroid used himself out of the league.
What does this have anything to do with the question?
Because your question is, why don't they always just take the best guy? And I'm telling you that they don't always take the best guy. Mandarich was the best guy that year, but Jimmy Johnson was smart enough to
see
through
it. I guess in football, it's way different because if you need a quarterback, you take a quarterback.
Okay,
but
well,
in baseball, it seems like you should just take the best prospect out there instead of not taking him first overall.
Well,
I mean, but that's all. That's up to the opinions, right? I mean,
that is true.
It's the eye of the beholder. Whoever has the first pick may view one better than the other. They're both college guys, so this draft is littered with a bunch of college guys. Yeah, in baseball, I would agree with you, Scraby. It usually should be best talent. I mean, because it's not as though you draft them and then they help your team right now. You know what I'm saying? Usually,
yeah.
For the most part, except with the very few exceptions, you got to go through the minors. So by the time 3 years rolls around, your needs may be different. Or 4 years roll around, your needs may be different. So, I would assume the reason why the consensus or they're not taking the consensus number one is because they feel like the other guy's better.
I have a question about the baseball draft, Tony, that maybe you can touch on a little bit. And I don't think it has anything either to do with either of these two players. I think it has to do with every single player coming out of college. Everyone.
Okay.
College baseball players all use aluminum bats. How do major league teams know which guys are going to be able to translate and hit with a wood bat as well as they rake with an aluminum bat in college?
Fantastic question.
I think because now, I mean, most of them go play summer ball. They're all wood bat leagues.
They okay,
all get the
so there are leagues that they yes, they can demonstrate their ability to hit with a wood bat now.
For sure. But I think there's just a way that, especially when you're watching the collegiate games, there's just a way that the swing gets through the zone that you know works for wood that you know immediately it stands out won't work with a wood bat in their hand.
Just out of curiosity, how long did it take you to get comfortable with a wood bat? And was there any transition?
I didn't have any transition because I was always, I grew up swinging.
True. A wood bat. Your dad probably told you, yeah. Well, okay.
That's very interesting. But
it's just something I was thinking about as I was watching the College World Series. And these guys, I mean, there's guys setting records with, you know, 50 home runs this year in college baseball. And, you know, guys hitting 600. And I'm just thinking, can they all, you know, hit that well at the next level? Of course not. But how do they know which ones will? It's weird.
I don't know, but the Basmanian Devil I'm a fan of now.
That's your guy.
Number three.
Exactly 6 months to the... That's all it takes is a good nickname. Exactly 6 months to the day after leaving the Patriots, Bill Belichick has landed a new job. The six-time Super Bowl winning head coach will join inside the NFL for the upcoming season, and he's going to sit alongside former Pro Bowl safety Ryan Clark, former Pro Bowl wide receiver Chad Johnson, and former defensive end Chris Long, who won one of his two Super Bowls while playing with Belichick in New England. Inside the NFL, did you guys know what was on the CW network?
Nope.
Yeah, it's going on its second season on the CW network.
I'm glad
Chris,
you told me.
I'm letting you know that to ask this question. Will you watch to see what Bill Belichick brings to the table?
I don't think I have to anymore. I think in the day and age of social media, if Bill Belichick says anything interesting, somebody will post it.
Well, that's a good point.
And I'll get to watch that. And I won't have to put up with the rest of the ragtag show that probably is. Bill Belichick.
Ragtag?
Well, I don't know. Ryan Clark is a click beast, and I don't know what Chad Ochocinco's last
name
really
is
these days.
It's back to Johnson.
But, you know, Belichick, for all of his, you know, brilliance and knowledge of the game of professional football, he is not a guy that I'm going to run towards – to sit and listen talk for a, you know, 45 minutes.
See, I've heard he's amazing talking.
To me, well, I've seen him interviewed before, and I maybe he just doesn't translate, but he looks rather boring to me. So,
Tony, are you going to watch to see what he brings to the table?
I mean, I don't generally watch that show because I didn't know it was on the CW. So
no one did, Tony. No one did.
I think Bill Belichick, outside of being a coach, is actually interesting. He's not interesting when he's on the mic as a head coach, and he clearly doesn't want to reveal anything.
Yeah, that's
true. I think he's excellent once he gets outside of that realm. Every time I've heard him speak since, he's been funny, whether we were talking about roasts or he just provides a bunch of insight. Even in the 30 for 30 they did with him and, was it Bill Parcells?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, the two Bills?
He was good in that. And so, yeah, I won't go looking for inside the NFL, but as Chris said, the clips get taken, and I certainly will watch to see what he has to say.
I would say this. If I had to watch the show, I would watch it probably to hear what he says over any of the other guys you named.
I mean, he is the most decorated guy in that room. So
The only one that doesn't bring anything, I think, is Chad. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Ryan Clark is good.
I agree that Ryan Clark does good stuff, but he does like the clicks. I will say. Agree to disagree. So, with that awkward transition, two awkward transitions for the Big Five today, everybody. The Chargers have these schedule release videos that a lot of people think are pretty funny, and some of it is pretty funny. They take shots at players and other teams, but one of those players was not happy about the Chargers' social media team, equating him to garbage. Here is Davante Adams of the Raiders on Up and Adams talking about it.
It was a little trend a little bit ago where, you know, a few of the social media pages were posting some funny stuff of, you know, when the schedule was releasing. So they posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. So I thought about responding on social media to it and, you know, being funny there. But I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot.
Yeah, you
like
play
10 catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. And then the next time, that same year, it was like 177 yards and, you know, two touchdowns, I think it was that game. So I just wanted to kind of remind them what they pertains to playing against me. And hopefully the people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault, they didn't have anything to do with the post, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth.
I love it. I love it. Tony, can a team's social media post cause problems for the actual players on the field?
In a football game, yes. Football, basketball, certainly. A lot more control, especially when you're dealing with a dude like this. This is not like your run-of-the-mill wide receiver. This is Davante Adams, who, as he said, has been terrorizing the Chargers. So if I'm one of them cornerbacks, I'm immediately walking up to the social media group and telling them they need to chill out.
Yeah.
You're trying to have me roasted on national TV. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, almost all of the social media content is managed by people who didn't play sports. And so when that is the case, you run the risk of popping off and putting somebody in position where they could be the one that has to deal with the repercussions. And I imagine that doesn't go well. So, you know, you only see a few of the social medias like this. Everybody else seems to understand, like, it's not the best idea to piss off somebody like Davante Adams,
who's already been great against you to begin with.
Right.
And it wasn't that they posted him as a garbage can. They posted a Pop-Tart flavor, and the Pop-Tart flavor was garbage. So that's what he was talking about. Chris.
Well, it doesn't always have to be social media that people post that can upset athletes either.
Oh, no, I forgot.
And I'm not going to go there. But there was something up on the scoreboard at Petco Park last year that I don't think was right. And I think I think the Padres paid a little price for that, and I don't think that any of the players certainly had anything to do with it. So what Tony's saying is accurate. But on this one, I agree with Tony 100%. The only thing I'm thinking of is maybe the Chargers were trying to remind Davante Adams that he has just done nothing but trash them. overtime.
Okay, that's a good look.
Maybe that was. Maybe they were actually giving him a compliment.
Don't give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not, but I'm trying to get them out of this mess that they've created for themselves.
All right. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Number one. An American Airlines flight was forced to make an emergency landing after an unruly passenger exposed himself and urinated on the plane's aisle, everybody. Neil McCarthy, 25, of Oregon, was arrested and charged with indecent exposure in relation to the incident aboard American Eagle Flight 3921, which was flying from Chicago to Manchester, New Hampshire, but was forced to divert to Buffalo, New York. Because of this incident, McCarthy was charged under Title 49, United States Code Section 46506. He faces a maximum penalty of 6 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. Now, Braden did some more research on this. The reason he decided to urinate in the aisles because they told him he had to wait until the seatbelt sign was off for him to go to the bathroom, so he decided to stand up and do that anyway.
Time out.
Yes.
Do we know what McCarthy is this?
David McCarthy. Or Neil, I'm sorry. Neil McCarthy.
Do we know this Neil McCarthy?
No. We don't know this. This is like just a random person. Yeah. You know who sent this to us this morning? Adam Klug sent us in the producer chat.
I'm so glad that I'm not on a flight like this sometimes. Like, are you serious? He just got up in the aisle?
There actually is like video of this. News article that I saw has like a picture of this happening. It's wild. It's wild. So Chris, does the punishment fit the crime?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Here's my reason why the punishment, because I mean, I'd go the full 6 months and I'd go the full $5,000. Are you saying that the punishment's too much for the crime?
No. You cannot just urinate on a plane because you want to.
Right. And I'll be honest with you. I have been close.
Wait, what?
Not to actually doing that, but in a desperate situation where I had to go so bad and they were in the landing process and then the plane had to circle the landing runway four or five times because there was traffic below.
Sir, why didn't you go to the bathroom in preparation for landing?
Because I thought I could make it through landing, and then the landing lasted a long, long time.
All right.
And then once you land, people clog their way into the aisle, so you can't get your way back to the anyway.
Okay.
All right, so that's stupid to say, but I just said it anyway. But no, here's my reasoning why this guy, they get to throw away the key on this guy.
Throw away the key?
Throw away the key is because, A, this is absurd and ridiculous in its first place. But secondly, he inconvenienced a plane full
of
people.
Yeah, that's another level
of disrespect.
Had
to get to Manchester, New Hampshire, wherever they were going. And, he forces it to be diverted to Buffalo. That throws everybody's life off. I'm tired of people your own stupidity and arrogance affecting selfishness affecting that many people. So I would double the sentence if he came into my courtroom.
Tony, does the punishment fit the crime?
What was the sentence?
6 months in prison, $5,000 fine maximum.
As the great Kendrick Lamar recently said, never let a man you know what on your leg, son. Either you die right there or pop that man in the head, son. I don't think
those are song lyrics.
Yes. I can imagine it.
All right.
I like Tony saying it better though.
Yeah. No. There's no way. Double the sentence.
I agree with that.
I'm just telling you. Even a splash caught me.
Even just the exposing yourself part out to be off the top is enough to.
I'm
walking around in the locker room for a long time. That part doesn't bother me as much until the speck of pee hits my arm or leg or ankle. It's over.
As Tony would say,
walk over that spot on the way out. That's a good point, Chris.
Oh, my God.
That's a good point. All right. Well,
nice
that,
visual to end the Big Five today.
For the week.
Yeah,
that was the last topic of the week, everybody.
All right.
All right. On the other side, we're going to get you set for the final series before the All-Star break. All of that is next. Plus David Peralta on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.